Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Quickly, I want to share with us on what I call understanding the purpose of parenting. Understanding the purpose of parenting. Father, once again, we ask that you bless your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Every major thing that God has done, God has used people to do it. God uses individuals to do it. Whether it is to advance the kingdom, whether it is to bring in a new invention, whether it is to lead a movement, whether it is to emancipate a people, God has always used a person. Praise God. God will raise someone that he will use for the things that he desires to be done on the earth. Praise the Lord. But every individual, every person that you have seen that has done anything remarkable, whether in the negative or in the positive, is somebody that came from a family. Hallelujah. Somebody that came from a family. The family is the smallest unit of the community. And it is the family that makes up the community. The community makes up the nations. The nation makes up a country. Praise God. So if God wants to raise a man that he is going to use to do something, that person is going to be raised from a family. So when Moses was going to be raised to be able to deliver the children of Israel, God had to plant him in a family. Hallelujah. And the Bible makes a very interesting statement about Moses. Because just about the time that Moses was born, Pharaoh had given a command that the children of Israel were to be killed at birth. But the Bible says that the parents of Moses knew that he was a proper child. That's how the King James puts it. But Bible traditions tell us that within the community of the Jews, they knew that God was going to raise somebody, because God had given Abraham a prophecy that I will take your children into captivity. And they will be there for 400 years. He said, and after that, I will deliver them. So when the children of Israel found themselves in captivity in Egypt, they knew that God was going to send a deliverer. So in the Greek, in the Hebrew text, the word proper was not actually what was used. In the Hebrew text, what was actually said was that the parents of Moses suspected that Moses was going to be that deliverer. So as a result of knowing that, the Bible says that they refused to obey the king's command. So the strength of their conviction was based on the fact that they knew that there was something special about this child, that it was possible that there was a prophetic agenda in the life of that child. And so therefore, because of the prophetic agenda that was upon the life of that child, they were willing to risk their lives and to risk the commandment of the king in order to save that child, because that child was eventually going to become the deliverer. That is why when you read the story of Moses, the Bible says, and a day came in the life of Moses that he visited his own brethren, the Jews. That the Bible says he visited them. And when he visited them, the Bible says he found them fighting, and then, you know, he killed the Egyptian, saved the Hebrew. And then the second time he came, he found two Hebrew people fighting. And the Bible says he tried to separate them, and one said, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? And the Bible says that in trying to separate them, it was the book of Acts telling us the story, that he thought that they knew that God was going to deliver them through him. Which means that when Moses, in the life of Moses, they had already told Moses, you are the man that will bring deliverance. And I hope you know that it was the mother of Moses that raised Moses. Because when Miriam was by the bank of the Nile, she was kept there to watch Moses. Is that right? And so when the daughter of Pharaoh picked up Moses, Miriam showed up and said, should I get you someone to take care of him? And she went and took the mother of Moses and brought her. So it was the mother of Moses that raised Moses. So the mother of Moses knew the prophetic work that was upon Moses. And so she raised Moses as a deliverer. So as Moses was growing up, Moses was not growing as a normal child. Moses was growing up with the knowledge that he was going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. That is why scripture will say to us, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. In other words, every parent has a responsibility to have a revelation over the child that he is birthing. And then to train that child in accordance to the revelation that is over the life of that child. So that child can come into the destiny that God has planned for that child. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? So therefore, every parent has a responsibility. Listen to me. If you are a parent, God has uniquely chosen you to be the one to not only birth a child, but to also guide the destiny of that child into what that child must become. So you must understand, because you have been given the responsibility for not only stewarding a human being, but stewarding their destiny, you are going to give account of how you raise that child. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? You have a responsibility, and you're going to give an account of how you raise that child. God will judge every father, every mother, every guardian on how they stewarded the life of the children that God has given them. Listen, every parent, so listen, a child or a person is responsible for the decisions, a person is responsible for how his destiny eventually turns out. Every child is responsible for how his destiny eventually turns out, based on the choices that person will make. But listen, parents' influence the choices children make. Every person is going to become the result of the choices he has made. But parents help children to decide on the choices they eventually make in life. So in other words, many choices that your children are going to make are based on the values that you taught them. So in other words, you are indirectly responsible for how your children turn out. You are indirectly responsible. And so therefore, it is important that every parent must know that he has a responsibility to put certain things into the life of the children that God has given you. And let me say this, even if that you had a child out of wedlock, you have a responsibility to raise that child. God, you might have made a mistake, but the child is not a mistake. Hallelujah. And God chose you. Listen to me. God chose you. Do you know that there are people who don't drink because their father used to drink? Are you hearing what I'm saying? They saw the consequences of drinking in their father's life. They decided they will not drink. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are decisions that people are making because of where they came from. So God uniquely positioned you where you came from so that God can use you to correct something from where you came from. No, are you hearing me? No child is a mistake. Every child was designed by God, was intended by God. How many people have miscarriages? People that are married have miscarriages, don't they? Yes. But you are not married. God kept the child. Do you know there are people who take drugs to abort children? The children will not be aborted. They refuse to be aborted. Yes, because God has a destiny for that child. So you have a responsibility. Hallelujah. In scripture, we see certain examples. Media, if you can follow me, and we want to be fast, I have a few minutes to round up. In scripture, we see what I call parents whose decisions affected the destiny of their children wrongly. Genesis chapter 25, verse 28. Genesis chapter 25, verse 28. As we commemorate the Children's Day, I bring this word of exhortation. And Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he did eat of his venison. That means that he brings him meat. Do you know that there are girls that are doing prostitution and bringing money home? And their parents collect the money. Are you hearing me? And they love them not because they are doing what is right, but because they are doing what is wrong. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebecca loved Jacob, which means that father and mother had favorites. And the children knew that they had favorites. So from the beginning, they began to divide the family because they showed, are you understanding what I'm saying? They've had favorites. They had favorites. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon the son of David loved her. Let's go to verse 5. I don't want to read the story. We know the story. Amnon slept with his sister. Let's go to maybe around verse 10. I suspect to be around verse 10. There's a point I want to make. Okay, let's start from here. And Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherein he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Yes. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil of sending me away is greater than the other that thou did unto me. Yes. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him. Let's go to the next verse. And she had a garment of diverse colors, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins were appareled. Yes. And Tamar put ashes. Please go. I'm looking for the place where the Bible says David did not punish Amnon. Amnon raped his sister, and David did not punish him. And the refusal of David, because there are some of you, you love your children so much that even when they do wrong things, you don't correct it. And you know, that was the seed that Satan used to destroy the family of David. Because the moment that was done, Absalom kept quiet. Absalom, which was Tamar's brother, he saw what was done to his sister. And his father didn't punish Amnon. So Absalom kept quiet and took it upon himself to revenge his sister. So one day, Absalom decided, planned something, and when Amnon got there, he killed him. And then when Absalom killed Amnon, are you hearing what I'm saying? Absalom raised a rebellion against his father. Raised a rebellion against his father, and the Bible says the rebellion was strong. When the army went after Absalom, David gave an instruction, no one must touch Absalom. Joab refused to listen to the instruction, killed Absalom, and the Bible says, and David wept over Absalom. Please look for that scripture for me, where the Bible says that David did not punish Amnon. But when King David heard of these things, he was very wroth. Yes. No, this is not where I'm looking for. Look for it. This is what I'm looking for. So, Absalom was Tamar's elder brother. David did not punish Amnon. Absalom took it upon himself to punish Amnon, to revenge his sister. When Absalom raised a rebellion against David. Now, I want you to see how that rebellion came. That rebellion came because Absalom considered his father to be weak. Raised a rebellion against his father. And when he raised the rebellion against his father, the father said, make sure that nobody kills Absalom. And the soldiers went and killed him. And the Bible says, and David began to cry, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. And the Bible says, and the soldiers came to David and said, what are you doing? They said, this man raised a rebellion and you are crying about him like this. They said, this thing that you are doing, if people hear it, if the soldiers hear it, the people who lost their life because of the rebellion. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, David was king, but he was a weak father. You know, he did not correct what his children were doing. He allowed them to do anything they wanted to do and did not punish them. Amen. Eli, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. Eli had a loose system of parenting. The Bible says that the sons of Eli, who were supposed to be priests with their father in the temple, the Bible says they were doing three things. One, the Bible says they were sleeping with all the ushers. Number two, the Bible says that when the people brought their sacrifices, there was a system to which they gave them the offering. The Bible says they will come to the people and say, give. They didn't follow that order. Number three, you know the place that Samuel took when Samuel was sleeping in the temple, it was actually the place of the sons of Eli. That was what they were supposed to be doing. They were not doing it. So when they were not doing, God sent a prophet to Eli. And this was what God said to Eli. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. And look at it. He said, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of the offerings of Israel, my people. Which means God was saying that you honor your children more than you honor me. God, so are you understanding what I'm saying? And we could take example upon example upon example. I want to share a few things with us in the next few minutes that I have left. Let me recommend, hallelujah, let me recommend a few things that if you are a parent, you should ensure that you teach your children. Let me recommend. Number one, I want to recommend that you teach your children, or you become a pattern of spirituality. You become a pattern of spirituality. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. That you become a pattern of spirituality. A pattern of spirituality. Not just that you teach. There are things that are learned and there are things that are modeled. Praise God. Are you a pattern of spirituality? You expect your children to grow up and be godly, but you have patterned ungodliness before them. I told us a story, one service, I don't know whether you were in service that day. I told us a story of a girl that woke up one morning and went to her father's room. She did not know that her father had brought a girl the night before. And the father had left for work and the girl was in her father's room. And when she entered her father's room, she actually, small girl, she went to see her father, primary school girl. I'm telling you a true story. When she entered the father's room, she met her class teacher naked on her father's bed. When you pattern ungodliness, are you hearing me? Eventually, that girl will begin to think there's something right. Except God helps her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This, and you know that for all intent and purpose, that girl is going to have a problem being in that classroom. Are you patterning? Who is giving me? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that is Paul was writing to Timothy, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it is also in thee. You must pattern spirituality. Do your children see you praying? You know, let me say this. I am not a fan of what we call morning devotion. Because I got saved early. And because I got saved very early, I got into what I would consider a very serious spiritual activity very early in my life. So I struggle with what we call morning devotion. Because the time you are doing morning devotion, I would have been praying for 1 hour or more by the time you are doing morning devotion. But listen to me. There is something that morning devotion does to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you have a family, there's something that morning devotion does to that, to those children. Before they ever hear the gospel of salvation, they have already begun to know that there is God and that we honor him and that we set aside time for him. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You must pattern it. I shared with you how my uncle taught me giving. I learned to give to the Lord. My uncle, I lived in his house. He wasn't really a nice guy. But there was something about that, my uncle, about honoring God in the matter of giving. Every Sunday, then, when money meant money, when we used to have one naira as a note. You know that 1 naira as a note? Some people don't know what we're talking about. That 1 naira was full transport. You will travel with it, too. My uncle, I don't know where he used to get it. He will get brand new 1 naira notes. On Sunday morning, he himself personally will share it. It was big money, sir. 1 naira note took you to school, brought you back. You ate from inside and had change. My uncle would give it to us as offering. I used to feel bad because it was 1 naira. I used to go to school. I would pay bus, go to and fro, eat breakfast from it, and still bring change to my parents. So when my uncle gives me 1 naira to give an offering, I used to feel somehow, is this not too much for God? Does God need... Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that thing did something to my mind. It did something to my mind. It taught me to honor God early. I didn't struggle giving to the Lord. There are people who are struggling giving to the Lord because they came up from a place where there was no honor system for spiritual things. Hallelujah. Pattern spirituality. Number two, teach children, let children grow up to love. Listen to me. To love God, to love themselves, and to love others. Listen to me. There are families that teach their children how to fight. There are families that teach their parents that teach hate to children. They inculcate hate. Let me tell you something. Most cases of racism begins in the home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Most cases of racism is in the home. Even people who will go out in public and not look like they are racist, they talk about it at home. They talk down about other people, and the children hear it. They tell the children who not to be friendly with, who not to be friends with. Teach your children to love. When you see people with superiority complex, they learned it at home. They learned it at home. Teach them to love God. Teach them to love themselves. Teach them to love other people. Number three, teach children to honor. Teach them honor. Eli's children had no honor. Teach your children honor. Listen to me. Let me tell you this. Honor is more important than a degree. Honor, sir. Honor is more important than a degree. You can have a degree, and doors will be shut against you. In fact, your degree can make doors to be shut against you. But if you have honor, doors will open for you that you never thought would ever open for you. Teach your children, when they see the elders, let them stand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When they see elders, let them stand. Teach them to greet people first before people greet them. Don't let people come into your house and then your children are walking around. You have guests and the children are walking around and you have to start telling your children in front, the children in front of the guests, are you not going to greet people? Are you not going to greet people? Listen to me. Use Koboko to fix that demon before the guests come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Teach them honor. Teach them honor. And we live in Gen Z. You know these Gen Z people? You know these Gen Z? Hallelujah. Teach children honor. Teach them not to talk back at elders. when they are rebuked, teach them to apologize first before they make their case. Teach them honor. Hallelujah. Are we together, church? Teach them. I'm just rushing through them. Teach children boundaries. Judges chapter 14. I think I'll just stop here. Judges chapter 14. You must teach children boundaries. Judges chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Next verse. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Next verse. Then went Samson down. Now this is what bothered me. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And well, the father and the mother followed him to go and get the woman. Well, that is definitely not me. Hallelujah. Of course, you know it's not me, Abby. You know it cannot be me, right? After they said to Samson, are there no girls in Israel that you marry? Samson said, get her for me, for she pleases me well. I don't care about your opinion about it, and I don't have a problem. You can do what you... Listen, let me tell you this. Let me put it. You have a right to your opinion. I have a right to my own position. Is that not so? When you arrive at the age of being married, you have declared independence. After all, the Bible says, so shall a man leave his father. That man, at the point where you have decided to marry, you are about to exit my authority. So, go in peace, and the Lord be with you. The mistake they made was that they went with him. You know, Samson, you know, I tell people that, you know, normally we follow God's will. We find a way to be in God's will, right? But in Samson's case, God found a way to be in Samson's will. And the problem was that Samson's parents never made boundaries around him. And I hope you know that Samson was an only child. Those of you who have one child, and you pour all your love and pour all your mistakes. If you have one child, that is where you must be strict about that child. There are people who have either one son or one daughter or one. When you have something that is one, be careful about it. Samson's parents did not put boundaries around Samson. Anything and everything Samson wanted to do, that was what Samson did. They contributed to Samson's choices. Samson is a man now. Since we will not hear what we have to say, go and marry now. Go and marry. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not the kind of person, listen to me, two cannot work together except they be agreed. Is that right? So, if you want to do something that you want me in it, find a way for us to agree on that thing you are trying to do. If we have not come to the point of agreement, don't force me to be part of what you are doing. A child, I had a story, very interesting story. An American child. This child was misbehaving. He went to one school, they threw him out. Went to another school, they threw him out. The father bought him a Lamborghini while he was in university. The father got an apartment for him. And the boy was just misbehaving. He went to three schools. They were throwing him out. So the father and the mother and the sister went to get a psychologist to find a way to, you know, talk to the child, counsel him. So they all came, the three of them, met the psychologist,
brought the case to the psychologist. So the psychologist asked them a question. Where is the boy? Because it was them that went. The boy was not there. So the psychologist asked them, where is the boy? They said, he's not here, but we hope to be able to bring him. Then the man looked at the father. He said, this boy doesn't have any problem. You are the one that have problem. Some parents, children don't have problem. You are the one that have problem. You can do what you want to do, but not under my roof. You have a right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have a right to go and have your own place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have a child. The child is dressing anyhow and is coming to your house. Oh, Lord God Almighty. In your own house, you will come back from work. The child is coming back by 10, by 11, by 12. No. There's no fight. There's no fight. We live in a free country. Go and get your place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and get your place. Listen to me. You know, I'm an African father. I'm already killing the person before the person has committed the mistake. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, you don't have to stay under my roof. You have a right to go and do what you want to do. If you two cannot work together, it applies to children. Two cannot work together except what? Except they be agreed. My son is writing WAEC. I got him a laptop because of this computer-based whatever. So one night, around 1 a.m., I was hearing noise in his room. So I stood up and went to the room. I bought you a laptop to prepare for WAEC. Around 1 a.m., you are watching movie on the laptop. So I didn't say anything to him because I didn't want him to stay awake all night. Because what I would tell him that night, he will have to meditate over it all night. So I kept quiet. In the morning, I woke him. I brought him to the Sanhedrin. Then I told him, and he knows it. I don't make empty promises, I told him. You see, you did not give me any dime to buy this laptop. This laptop is still my property. The receipt is in my hands. The next time I see you watching movie on this laptop until you finish the exam, that's the last day you will have the laptop. I didn't have to say it the second time because history has taught him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you, you'll be pampering the child. No, why are you doing watching laptop? See, you know. God bless you.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.